What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
She's a fashion blogger, model, and entrepreneur.
She's amazing.
The latest tips on fashion, beauty, wellness, travel, and her lifestyle. And now, here's the founder and creator of Not Basic Blonde, Olasha.
Hi loves, welcome back to another episode of Not Basic Blonde podcast. Today I have a very special episode and an incredible guest whose story really inspired me, and I'm sure it will inspire so many of you as well, and you will learn so much from this episode. So today my guest is Carlos Reyes, and Carlos will be sharing his story on how he went from the broke immigrant to successful multimillionaire, and he will be sharing his 5-step success formula. Carlos Reyes is a public figure and serial entrepreneur and owner of 25 businesses, with many of them being in the real estate industry. Carlos is a symbol of the American dream, immigrating to the US with his mother and growing up poor before starting National Cash Offer and Offer Key with his partner. Both companies consistently produce 6 figures each month, and they have diversified into multiple other 7-figure operations through their proprietary scaling systems. So today, Carlos and I will be discussing how he went from a broke immigrant to 8-figure entrepreneur, and why commitment and discipline are so important, what are the key factors that help Carlos to succeed in real estate, the best mindset for a long run, 5-step success formula for everyone, how to remove yourself from day-to-day operations and make more money, the best marketing channels, and so much more. But before we dive in, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts. Hi, Carlos. I'm so excited to have you on my podcast. How are you today?
Good. Thank you so much for being flexible and patient with me. I just gave you a rundown of some of the stuff we got going on, right? So, and I can't wait to get into all of that. But I just want to say that as a human being and as a spirit, as a soul, your energy was just very magnetic. You know, when I saw you, right? Because we both spoke at an event out in Atlanta, right? With beautiful, amazing people, Ed Milet, John C. Maxwell. I mean, the list goes on and on. Your energy was very magnetic. And now I know why. You know, you're a beautiful person inside out. And as soon as you and I started just connecting a little bit, I was just like, man, this is my kind of people, you know? So I just want to say thank you for your, you know, what you're doing in the world. Thank you for how you're bringing light to a lot of people. And especially in today's society, we need love and we need light more than ever, because if you look at, if I were to line you up next to 10 people, probably 2 out of those 10 people have committed to bringing light into the world. Does that make sense? The other eight, they either don't know any better or are just caught up in, you know, just some really negative things that are going on in the world. And that's why it's amazing to meet a fellow servant like yourself. So thank you for being who you are.
Oh, I appreciate your feedback and I so appreciate your kind words. Your story inspired me and it was so deep and just incredible. And after everything you explained about yourself and how you went through so many struggles that day at the conference, oh my God, I was amazed. So that's why I wanted to invite you on my podcast so listeners can learn from you and you can inspire thousands of people.
Thank you so much. As you know, it's funny. I intentionally do keep it, but it's never, this is the first time I ever actually show this picture, like on a podcast, right? That is me in Mexico and that's my grandfather and that's my grandmother. And that's our home. That's our home. And we are celebrating 3 years of age for me there, you know, right there. And you know, like I said, do you remember, I don't know if, did you catch the whole speech? Remember when I said,
whole speech, I remember.
I feel like I'm just gonna, you know, I'm honoring them. Like I'm honoring their legacy for the rest of my life because of all the sacrifices that my mother has made, of all the sacrifices that my grandfather and my grandmother have made. There's just so many people that were counting on me, and maybe they weren't counting on me. Maybe they didn't know what I was going to do or what I was going to be, but they played a major role in everything that I am and everything that I have and everything that I do now. And, you know, God willing, you know, from heaven, they're looking at me with just a sense of fulfillment and a sense of pride because if it wasn't for their love and if it wasn't for their support and their care, you know, my mother and my grandparents, I wouldn't be serving the world. I wouldn't be serving, first of all, the kingdom, and I wouldn't be serving the world the way that I'm serving. And, you know, I have a lot of responsibility, as you know, that when you do become a powerful human being, a lot of people don't understand this, right? There's like this space or this amount of power belongs to very few people. It belongs to the committed. It belongs to the few, which are the committed, right? And when I say committed, they're committed to walking that narrow path that a lot of people aren't willing to walk, right? They're committed to making themselves the healthiest version of themselves, mind, body, and spirit. They're committed to really connecting and loving their families and honoring their families. They're committed to, you know, being the best in business that they can potentially be, right? Because they know that the more success that they have financially, the more that they can actually contribute to the world, right? Because I can sit here and say, man, I want to contribute to the world, but if I'm only making X amount of money and all I can do is, you know, maybe contribute by offering love and offering support and care, why don't I become mega successful, massively successful, and make a lot of money and take a percentage of that money, right? There's a percentage of that money that goes to God, right? And then there's a percentage of that money that goes to contribution. So now, not only do I care with my heart and my soul, but I actually care with the one thing that solves 99% of people's problems, which is money. You know what I mean? So that, you know, again, I'm not here by myself, you know, and I'm just going to go down my story real quick, which should only take 3 to 5 minutes here. I was born in Mexico, which is south of the United States of America. It's a country located south of the U.S. And my mother, you know, like I said, at a very young age, she wanted, the poverty was just so hard down there that, you know, she wanted more for me and my siblings. So what my mother did, right, I said, hey, I learned these five, if anybody's listening, whoever's listening out there, whether they're watching or listening, if they just want to write down these, my personal five-step success formula that I learned from watching my mother, right, from watching my mother, well, my mother was a visionary. Her vision was to change our lives and, you know, give us an opportunity in America, right? So this is the five-step success formula that I learned from watching my mother. Number one is vision. Number two is commitment. Number three is sacrifice. Number four is work ethic. And number five was perseverance. And I can actually go down that line, right? Vision, she had the vision to do better for her and her children. Commitment, she was so committed that she, as a single mom, right? Because she left my father too, because my father was abusive and an alcoholic and a drug addict. So my mom didn't want that for her children. I mean, my mom is a lioness when it comes to her children. So, you know, she left my father. And then, you know, when she left us with our grandparents at this age for 2 years, right? Well, it's because she was committed. She was committed to the vision she had for her family. Number three is sacrifice. As you can see, it's not easy for a mother to leave her little cubs or little children with grandparents for 2 years. What mother? Are you a mother, by the way?
No, not yet. But I grew up with my grandparents mostly because my parents worked all the time and they got married when they were young. So I know how it feels. But I mean, I don't know how it feels for the mother, but I know how it feels.
Well, when you, God willing, when God blesses you with beautiful, amazing, healthy children, and then you see this, or you get to feel this love that is unmatchable by anything else. Because I have children. I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter.
Nice.
All right. They're all over. Check this out. Right. Look at this.
Wow. That's so beautiful.
My little babies. Right. So when you get to have children, you know that once you have them, you can never leave them. Like you just wouldn't feel like yourself. And my mom had to make that sacrifice to make this happen. Right. And number four is work ethic. My mom, man, like she worked 2-3 jobs at the same time, to the point where she didn't even get to enjoy us as children. She didn't even get to enjoy us as kids. She didn't even get to enjoy us as teenagers. She didn't even get to enjoy us as young adults because she was constantly working. 2 jobs, 3 jobs, night shift, right? Graveyard shift. 3-4 hours of sleep and right back to serving food at a cafeteria in an elementary school. She would get out of that, you know, come home for 1 hour. I don't even know how she did it. You know, I don't even know how she did it. And, you know, she made it happen, which is number five, perseverance. She never gave up. You know how easy it is for someone to just say, man, I can't, I'm a single mom. I can't do this. You know, this isn't healthy. I can't work 2-3 jobs. And she had no time for herself, zero time for herself. Over a decade, it was just her providing for her children. And, you know, it's funny because, again, that's the five-step success formula that I learned from watching my mother, right? But what people don't know is that the first time that she brought us over to America, she literally was holding, just like I explained on that stage, she was holding my little brother with her left hand, and she was literally carrying, like dragging me, you know, holding my hand to get to the first time that we came over was California. It was San Diego County. There was a border, little border called San Ysidro next to Tijuana, TJ. We went through there. Well, we attempted to go through there. We got caught. We got kicked out. Then we went to my aunt's house in TJ, Mexico, 48 hours waited, came back. We made it. We crossed. And we only lasted less than a year in California before we were completely wiped out financially and we had to go back to Mexico, right? So we had to go back to Mexico, and her and I, at this point, I'm in the third grade, and we come up with the plan. Now, when you're in the third grade, by the way, you're about 8-9 years old, right? And we come up with the plan because now we had tasted the land of milk and honey. We had tasted America. We had tasted electricity. We had tasted, you know, running water. We had tasted green grass. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a whole different world. It was like a fantasy world back in the 90s. It's something that you just wouldn't see in Mexico, right? These beautiful buildings and newer cars. You know what I'm saying? Right? So we had tasted all this. And when we were going back home, my mom and I, even though I was already the man of the house, you know, that I was in the third grade, and she constantly always treated me like an adult. Like, my mom never treated me like a kid. She treated me like an adult. And I think that helped me out a lot with my maturity. You know, yeah, I was years ahead of my time, you know, but it all happens for a reason. You know, I get to be a child now around my kids, which is amazing. But I'll say this, We went back. I started bagging groceries. I know you saw the picture of my ID, right? My grocery bagger identification. I start bagging groceries. My mom starts cleaning hotel rooms at a resort. She's making $30 a week. I'm making $10 to $12 a day. I am now the primary breadwinner, right? Remember, I learned a little bit of English in the second and third, in the third grade over in California. So when I came back, this retail center where I was bagging grocery was located by a resort where a lot of American people would come and visit. It's called San Carlos Bay. So Americans loved it when this little Mexican boy would bag their groceries and then speak a little English to them, right? They're like, oh, wow, cute. This is amazing. Here's a dollar. You know what I mean? So, or here's 50 cents, here's a quarter. And I started making money and we saved up enough money to send her to Phoenix, Arizona, which is where I am today. We saved up enough money, sent her over. Here goes another year and a half of, you know, leaving us with our grandparents for the second time. Can you imagine that? Like, right, you left us there for 2 years and then you took us and my grandparents are like, okay, I hope everything goes well, you know, blah, blah. And then here we go again. We kind of come and it's sad to say, but people in my family were almost making fun of my mother. Hey, we told you this wasn't going to work. You know, who did you think you are? You see what I'm saying? Like my mom's the black sheep, right? So, cause she's willing to step outside the box, you know, to make things happen. You know, most people are just in this little box and that's kind of where they're stuck their entire life, which is a sad thing. Well, not her. You know, she's a free thinker. She thinks outside the box and she was just like, whatever. She took all the abuse from her family. And then we saved up enough money, sent her to Phoenix. Here goes a year and a half. Well, now she pays literally a human smuggler $25 to get me through a fence, a hole in the fence in Nogales, Sonora, which is the border of Arizona and Sonora, Mexico. You know, she pays this dude $25, a complete stranger, by the way. You can only imagine at this point I'm in between the sixth and the seventh grade. You're about 12 years old around there, right? But now it's 1997. And you know, she say, hey, son, the only way this is gonna happen is you gotta listen to this dude because he's gonna take you through this fence and we're gonna meet over on the other side at the McDonald's, and then we're gonna catch a van and we're gonna go up to Phoenix. It's about 3.5 hours from here, right? So yeah, man, whatever the guy asked me to do, I did, because the incentive and the promise was I was going to be reunited with my mother on the other side of the fence. So I did it. You know, when the guy asked me to crawl, I crawled, I ran, and then jumped. I jumped, and man, he got me through. You know, he got me through the fence, and then we came up, and I've been here ever since. My mother started to fix my status here, my immigration status in 1997. And then, you know, years and years and years and years and years later, I became, I got a work permit first, early 2000s, you know, and then I got a permanent residency card. Back then it was called the green card. And then 5-6 years later in 2012, I got a citizenship. I became an American citizen, which is one of the greatest accomplishments of my life, because I no longer had to really live with fear and uncertainty and live in the shadows. And you know what I mean? Like when you're not an American citizen, you don't feel like you belong, and you don't feel you're always in fear because you just don't know when it's going to end. You know what I mean? So I went through all of that. I became a citizen in 2012. I founded my first company. I tried, don't get me wrong, I tried a couple different things, you know, that did not work out, but I technically and professionally founded our first company in 2013, which is our real estate investment company, right? And it's still active. You know, we're still doing millions of dollars through that specific company. And we're doing business in multiple markets, multiple states with that specific company. Well, we started making, you know, a good amount of money with that company. And what we did, my business partner and I, because, you know, we're very, we're patient. We're not like these kids, you know, on social media that they make a little bit of money and then they go buy a Lamborghini. You know what I mean? They make a little bit of money and then they go buy a watch, and they make a little money and they go buy a chain. Like, you know, they make a little money and they're out at the clubs and they're popping bottles and they're just throwing away. They're not being good stewards of the blessings that God's sending. Well, my business partner and I had the patience to start pretty much injecting a lot of that money back into the business. So it started to grow and grow and grow. It's almost like a fire. When you just keep putting wood in that fire, it just grows, right? So it started to grow and we started to make more money. And once we started to make more money, we started to launch other companies and we started to absorb, acquire other companies. And now we're actually, we're acquiring equity in so many different companies, which I showed you some of them, right? Like if you look at Puppies and Coffee, I recently acquired 20% of Puppies and Coffee. And I'm very excited about Puppies and Coffee. Who doesn't like puppies and coffee, right? So see, puppies and coffee, right? So I'm excited about that venture. And that's where we are today. You know, our goal this year is to try to hit the 9-figure mark as revenue produced, right? AKA turnover. That's our goal. You know, like I said, how do you try to hit 9 figures in a year, 100 mil? Well, by having multiple streams, you know what I mean? By having multiple ventures, right? If your real estate company is doing this, and then your software as service ecosystem is doing this, and then your new venture, which is franchising, is doing this. I mean, then you kind of all add them all up at the end of the fiscal year and boom, you either end up at 9 figures, which was the goal, or you don't. And if you don't, then you do some reverse engineering and you look at the books and you're, well, why didn't we hit our goal? So that's kind of where we are today. Praise God.
That's incredible. An amazing story you have, because I remember at the conference when I heard your story, I still came home and I was thinking about it. Your mom was so brave to like move to a totally different country with kids too. These two small kids. And also she was resilient, not being afraid to go in nowhere and start it. And I was thinking in the back of my head, like, sometimes I'm afraid to make a move, but I have no kids. I don't have any obstacles that are really holding me back. Why am I afraid? But
you have, I look at a person like you, my mom still to this day, my mom right now does not speak English. I look at a person like you with all this, man, I mean, think about it. There's no coincidence. It's no accident. Your network alone, right? Talking to 8-figure, 9-figure people, your network alone should provide massive life-changing opportunities. The fact that people are just drawn to your energy should, right? Because, and this is what I tell people all the time, you don't have a money problem, right? You don't have a network problem. If you're not massively successful, it's because you have a creativity problem. You just got to go create. Okay, I got this network. Man, look at all these owners. Ken Jocelyn, Carlos Reyes, all these guys are doing 8-9 figures, 7-8-9 figures. Then you got you as the person in the middle, and then you got all these other potential ventures. All you got to do is get creative and connect, you know, the X's and O's, and you're going to be able to accomplish whatever you want, you know? So I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to massively achieve some pretty good stuff. So I'm happy to see that.
Thank you. I'm in the process of so many things
I know
going on, but it's just not there yet, but
that's okay. Yeah. What did we talk about earlier?
Yeah.
Patience.
Yeah.
Hey, don't get me wrong. Like I was literally, you know, I'm like, huh. I interviewed a CEO today. He's taken a company from, I think, 24 mil to 150 mil. And we really want him to come here. And we're assembling an executive team that's going to get us, you know what I mean? Like it's the Avengers of executives, right? And I'm vetting them. And I mean, it's a beautiful thing to see. I'm like, huh, what do I do with this money that I have to pay, you know, an executive? Because executives, they cost us multiple 6 figures a year. Plus maybe a little profit sharing, plus maybe a little bit of equity, whatever we work out. I'm like, what do I do with this money? Do I blow it on something stupid? Or do I hire a rock star executive that's going to equate to bringing me an extra $10 to $15 million this year. You see how that works? Patience, right? Do I go buy a Richard Mille, right? Do I go buy a $100,000 watch, or do I hire a CEO that can produce $10 million? Then I can go buy whatever amount of watches that I want. See, patience. You see what I'm saying? That's what a lot of people don't have. Everybody wants instant gratification. Everybody wants to make a little bit of money and then spend it, and make a little bit of money and then spend it. They don't even know how to capitalize, how to inject money into their ventures. So therefore their ventures are undercapitalized, and then eventually they bleed out, and then eventually they dissolve.
What were the main key factors that helped you to succeed? And if you had any challenges, what helped you to overcome them?
Beautiful question, by the way. I'm actually going to write some of these things because I really want to serve your listeners, right? Especially you deserve it because you're so patient and flexible, and I'm grateful, right? I told you I was going to give you everything I have. So my company's called All In, right? I'm never like, you know, I'm lukewarm. I'm never like half in. I'm always all in. If I say, hey, I'm going to show up for you, I'm going to show up for you, you know? So some of the things that I think, if we're, because you probably have a lot of, yes, you have a lot of entrepreneurs as an audience, but you probably have a lot of people that have a dream of owning their own business and eventually accomplishing freedom, real freedom, financial freedom, time freedom, right? I think 95 to 97% of people allow fear, the fear of the unknown, to prevent them from even taking the first step. But what they don't understand is that you mentioned the word earlier, resiliency, right? Being resilient. I've never met an entrepreneur that isn't resilient. And every human being that ever comes into this earth, they're resilient. If I throw a human being with an IQ of 30 into the street, he or she is going to be resilient enough to get out of the street. You see what I'm saying? Right. So we all have the same opportunities, but 95 to 97% of people are so tied down by their limited beliefs and their programming, right? The bad programming, right? That they live in constant fear of the unknown, of uncertainty, of uncomfortability. So I would say that in a lot of cases that I've seen with a lot of people is they need to have faith. Then first, yeah, faith, which is believing, right? They need to have faith and they need to have courage. With those two components there, right? Faith and courage, there's nothing that can stop them. If they have faith to overcome that fear of taking action and taking the first step, right? That, hey, this is going to happen. I just got to do it. And if they have courage, obviously, to overcome that fear, that knot in their stomach, right? That courage to go against the norm, because 95 to 97% of society is the norm, right? They work 9-to-5 jobs and you know, whatever. And they have the courage to overcome all those fears that we kind of talked about at the event. You have like fear of criticism, fear of success, fear of failure. You have all these fears. The word fear, 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 fear keeps coming up. So the only way to overcome fear is with faith and courage, right? You got to have the courage to take the action, and you got to have the faith that this is going to work out and you never give up. So I honestly believe it's that simple, but people make it way more complicated, especially your listeners are, you know, the people that are listening, they make it more complicated in their minds that it's actually that simple. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And fear of success, it can be actually huge, because depending on your family or where you grew up and what your parents told you, that could be one as well, because that could affect you. And fear of success could be that someone does not feel worthy of success. So it's just all these fears, like you said, they're always in the way. And if you overcome them and be actually really bold to step it up and level up, then nothing stands in your way.
I can actually go into like fear of worthy, like lack of worthiness, right? Because that's also, we were talking about those limited beliefs, right? And my two biggest limited beliefs were fear of failure, right? Which, why do you, 95-97% of people fear that they're going to fail. Oh man, I don't want to try because I might fail and that might hurt me. It's more painful to not try and to keep living with the same pain, with the financial pain, right? With the pain of like regret, you know, with the pain of apathy, which is lack of action. It's more painful to not move and to not take action, in my opinion. But by the way, I dealt with fear of failure for years. Man, what if I try this real estate company and I fall flat on my face? Ooh, that might hurt too much. You know what I'm saying? Right? But let's go back to worthiness. You know, I've never struggled with worthiness, but I'll tell you what. The people that do, I've seen a common solution on how they actually overcome the fear of, oh man, am I worthy? The lack of worthiness, right? I believe that you can really build yourself up if you do what you say you're going to do. So if you keep your promises to yourself, which is the most important thing, yeah, keeping promises to your children, keeping promises to your significant other, keeping promises to your friends, keeping promises to your family members, keeping promises to your colleagues, that's very important. It's very important. But the highest priority of them all is keeping promises to you, your promises. If I say that I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to go to the gym, right? And I break that, something begins to happen internally, right? And I begin to feel like an imposter. You see, something begins to happen internally and my confidence begins to deplete. Something begins to happen internally where I now, like my faith levels begin to drop too. Because I no longer really have faith in myself because I'm not keeping my word. So you want to be worthy? Keep the promises that you make to yourself. And you know what's going to happen if you keep the promises? Like if you do say what you're going to do, at some point your brain and your cellular makeup, eventually if I say, hey, you know what? I'm going to launch this business and you do it, right? And then you say, okay, I'm going to go launch this other business. And then you do it. And then you say, I'm going to get up and go to the gym. And then you do it. You know what? I'm going to take my nutrition. I'm committed to my nutrition. And then you do it. You know what? I'm going to go buy this car. And then you do it. At some point, your brain doesn't even tell you that you can't do it. Your body doesn't even, your body's like, yeah, you are. You see what I'm saying? Like, right? Because the body, right? The body, first and foremost, our bodies are 70% water. Our brains are 90% water. And water has memory, right? For anybody that doesn't believe me, go read a book called Hidden Messages in Water by a doctor named Dr. Emoto, I believe. But this doctor made like 20 plus years of study, like water experiments and studies and how, you know, the not only the makeup of the water, but the way that it stores memory and the way that you're emotionally, you affect the water and the way that your words affect the water. Well, guess what? Our bodies are 70% water. So whatever I'm saying out here, if I'm constantly saying, I hate myself, I'm ugly, I don't believe in myself. Well, guess what you're doing? Your body's actually like, yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. Right. So your thoughts, that's just what that's the programming that you're giving it. And then your body, right, as water is storing that memory. And now you're getting yourself into some big trouble. But what if every day you're programming yourself by affirmations, you're programming yourself, like, I don't know if you can tell, right? But I've worked a lot on myself. I'm telling you, like, I've worked so much on myself. I do what I say I'm going to do. I do it. I have multiple tasks. Look at this. If I go to my task, there's my list for business. And guess what? There's my spiritual task list right there. I do it all. I do it. I do what I say I'm going to do. I don't, there's no negotiation. I will not negotiate anymore. And I have in the past, and it's cost me. But the more that I keep my word, the more that I feel worthy and the more powerful that I feel. Do you understand that?
Yeah, it's like sometimes we forget that simple day-to-day just tasks can put us on different paths and can create different habits. Like, you know, Atomic Habits, the book everyone reading.
Darren Hardy. Yeah, I love that book. I'll tell you what, anybody that's out there listening, if you truly do want to accomplish success and fulfillment in your life, do this and you'll begin to see a massive monumental change in your life. A transformation. I don't want to call it change. I want to call it a transformation. For the next 90 days, if you do every single thing that you say you're going to do, watch what happens for the rest of the year. That's the challenge that I have for every listener out there.
That's amazing. And it's all the success in so many things that are going on in your company and all the companies.
Organizations.
Yeah. How do you remove yourself from day-to-day operations? Because when you grow to a certain level, you can't just be you have to be a mentor, you have to be a leader, you have to be the boss. So mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Well, I actually wrote that down when I was interviewing this CEO, because we already have a C-suite in here and we're hiring two more C-suites, right? Literally, I wrote it down. Right. And I literally said, hey, I'm looking for an individual that can understand technology. I'm looking for an individual that can understand systems and processes. I'm looking for an individual that can understand automation. And I'm looking for an individual that can understand delegation. Do you see how you can remove yourself from a lot of things if you implement all that? Right. That's what it takes for you to go from a six-figure company to a seven-figure company. That's what it takes, a little bit of that. For you to go from a seven-figure company to an eight-figure company, it takes more of that. And for you to go to where our goal is now, a nine-figure operation, it takes what a lot of people aren't willing to do. But guess what? The beautiful part is there is a learning curve and there is a journey, right? Guess what? My first year in business, I'm in multiple six figures. My second year in business, I'm in multiple seven figures. By my fifth year in business, I was already making, you know, multiple seven figures. And then in 2017, 2018 is when we hit the eight figure mark. And then it's like scale, 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 scale. You know what I mean? Because it's these business breaking points. Once you figure out what it takes, which I just said, technology, systems, processes, automation, delegation, right? Then get now at that point, all you're doing is you're building the machine, right? That builds the machine. Does that make sense? It just becomes a machine. I am not a machine. I'm just part of the machine. We're building the machine.
Whenever you started hiring people for your business, how did you gain trust and how did you start delegating? Because sometimes you have to find people that you can trust, and not always, I mean, people will not always do the best when you do everything so well and you know what you can do. Mm-hmm. But then when you hire somebody else, they not always will do the same as you. And how do you let that go? How do you start trusting people and delegating?
You know, that's a great question. I actually wrote down some of the answers, but I want to do something even better, where in many cases, unfortunately, that's a big bottleneck for a lot of CEOs. They feel like nobody's ever going to do as good of a job as they are, right? But I kind of showed you my world and I showed you my ecosystem and I showed you the multiple companies that I own and operate and the companies that I own equity in that, again, I own equity in companies that I don't own and operate, right? So what people need to understand is, if I hire, let's just say that for my real estate company, I'm hiring an acquisition manager, someone that's going to help me buy houses, right? We have to understand, at one point, I was the acquisition manager when we started, you know, right? We would send out marketing, and then I would talk to sellers on the phone, homeowners. Well, do I think that any of my acquisition managers are as good as sales reps or closers that I am? Maybe not. Maybe yes, maybe no. But who's going to do a better job? Me, the CEO, who's dedicating 3% to this company, 5% to that company, 20% to this company, 10% of this company, right? Or the one person, even though I think that, hey, man, this person, you know, they're only 80% as good as I was, right? You know, I'm better than them by 20% with that specific role, right? That specific responsibility, right? Well, that person dedicating 100% of their entire being, like who they are, right? Like coming in and just dedicating 100% to this one thing, even though they're only accomplishing 80% of what I would normally, right? As far as results, isn't that going to be better than me trying to only dedicate 5% to that role? You know, that's what CEOs need to understand. And then there's another, one of my really good friends, his name is Dan Martell, and he's massively successful with software companies, right? He talks about this one rule, which is, he says, hey, what is your company going to make this year? All right, let's just say that your company is going to make $10 million this year, right? $10 million. Okay, cool. So how many hours are you going to work this year? Well, let's just say you're going to work 2,000 hours this year. You divide it by 2,000. Okay, well, that means your hourly rate is $5,000. You are worth $5,000, right? 10 million as a CEO divided by 2,000 hours, it's 5,000. Yes? Am I doing the math right? Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, okay. So then you multiply that times a fourth. Okay, you're like, that means that I have a margin of $1,250 to delegate as far as like per hour. So if someone comes in, you know, let's just say that I have an executive assistant that's $25 an hour, absolutely it's worth it because I can afford anyone up to $1,250 an hour because I'm worth X amount of money per hour. So I should be able to delegate just about all these other tasks that are not paying me $5,000 an hour, right? You see how that math can make sense if you're a CEO? That's the way I think about it. You know, I try to delegate a lot of things. Like I delegate, you know, even let's just on the personal level, I delegate landscaping. I delegate my pool. I delegate my massage therapist comes to my house. I delegate, I pay $200 or $250, depending on what it is, for a haircut for this lady to come to my house. You know what I mean? Look at this. Wendy the barber. Look at this. My last haircut was last week. Look at this. Wendy. $250. Wendy the barber, $250 for a haircut just because I don't want to leave my home. I'd rather watch TV or watch my children play and you can cut my hair. I think a barbershop normally charges $50 or something. I'm willing to pay whatever amount you need me to pay so that I don't have to leave my home. What does that tell you about how I value my time?
It means your time is very valuable and you would rather do things that you enjoy doing instead of spending it on errands or some other things that are not important and will not make you money.
I pay someone $400 a month to pick up dog poop in my backyard. Oh, actually, they don't just pick up dog poop. They also feed my dogs. So I got two outdoor dogs. They're Rottweilers, German Rottweilers. And then I got an indoor dog. Her name is Princess, and she's a micro French bulldog. So it's funny, but the individual that I pay to feed all three dogs and then pick up the dog poop outside, $400 a month, he's extremely grateful and extremely happy. And I'm extremely grateful and I'm extremely happy because if I'm picking up dog poop, right, if it takes me 15 minutes a week to pick up dog poop, then that means it's taking me 1 hour a month to pick up dog poop. And if I'm trying to make $100 million, right, I'm trying to be responsible as a CEO to produce $100 million. Let's just say that we only get to $70 million, okay? 70 mil divided by 2,000 hours, that's $35,000 an hour times 0.25, right? Yep. I can afford $8,700 to start delegating things. You see how, like, if I'm $35,000 an hour is what it's costing me to pick up dog poop. And I know this sounds, for a lot of people, this might not make sense, but I know it makes sense to you. There's a lot of listeners out there that might be like, this guy's out of his damn mind. But some people don't understand, obviously, you know, what they can't fathom because they don't understand. That's okay. And even the CEOs that are out there listening that are only producing X amount of, you know, yearly revenue, they may not understand it right now, but they'll understand it when they get there.
Yeah, so true. And I think the same way, because my time is more valuable than doing some things. So I would rather not to do it and delegate it. But also, how do you work less and make more? Because entrepreneurs become entrepreneurs not to work 24/7. They become entrepreneurs to have financial freedom. So how do you achieve that financial freedom that you can only work a few hours and mm-hmm. still enjoy your family time and still scale the business?
I think there's, first and foremost, I don't know if you heard me when I said this, but when I started building this empire, I used to schedule my family around work. And for the past 2 years, I schedule my work around my family. I get here at 10:30, and as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going home. And guess what? I got a massage today at 8 o'clock. I get 2 massages per week, Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. My daughters go to sleep around 8. So then I go, you know what I mean? I go and get my massage. By the way, side note, if you are having a tough time loving yourself, or even practicing any type of spirituality, which I believe that the first step to spirituality is self-love, you should try consistently getting a massage, because that is what did it. That's what started it for me back in 2017. Like, that was if you think about it, that was an act of love for me to start getting massages weekly. And then now it's twice a week. Right. And I pay him $200 per massage with $100 an hour. My massage therapist makes $800 a month off good old Carlos. Right. But it's okay, because guess what? Guess what that does for me? It allows me to perform at a much higher level. That's what people don't understand. That, like, I remember, you know Gary Brecka. I went to the Porsche Design Tower in 2021. I got it on YouTube. You just look at Gary Brecka, Carlos Reyes. I paid this man like $30,000 or $40,000 to do some extensive treatments, right? And when I was done, there was two people that asked me, like, man, why did you pay all that money to do these treatments? I said, because I'm worth $1 billion. You know, what's 30 some thousand dollars to a guy that's worth $1 billion? And by the way, I'm not worth $1 billion, but in my mind, I'm worth $1 billion. You see what I'm saying? Right? So $800 for massages and $400 to clean up dog poop and, you know, landscaping and all that. Guess what? That's because that's who I am. And that's who I'm becoming. It's already happened. Time just hasn't caught up. You know what I mean? So it's like, this is where I am. Here, I'll show you. This is my past that makes up this, which is me, my present, my past. Everything that I do right now, everything that me and you are doing right now, will eventually dictate our future and will create our future. And then where we are right now will become our what? Our past. So it's like, if I'm going to be a $1 billion man, I better start. Why wait? Right. Yeah. I really work less, make more. That comes down to, I think it's, you know, and listen, every entrepreneur out there, every founder out there, year one, year three, maybe even year five, right? They're going to have to put in that trench work, that groundwork. But eventually, if they really dedicate themselves and apply themselves to really becoming real business owners and they're constantly developing and evolving their business acumen, they're going to figure out how to massively, right, like, multiply and make more and work less. So at first, when you become an entrepreneur, you're like, you're working a lot and you're not making a lot. You want this to start shifting. You want this ladder to start shifting like this. Look, That's where I am right now. You know what I mean? But that's just what it is. You know, that's where we are today.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's totally worth it to delegate services and totally worth it to create financial freedom for yourself and to
work. Because you can have financial freedom. I think I had financial freedom my first year.
Yeah.
To me, financial freedom is not having to worry about how I'm going to pay the mortgage this month or the rent this month or how I'm going to pay the electricity bill this month or my car payment this month or my insurance payment this month, right? That's financial freedom, to not have to worry and stress of how I'm going to pay for my life, my lifestyle, my bills. That's financial freedom. I think that's the first thing that gets accomplished. But a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of founders, a lot of business owners never actually achieve real freedom, which is the freedom of time. And then they're massively successful, but their marriages are broken because they couldn't free themselves. They couldn't liberate themselves from the day-to-day work. You know what I'm saying? They're massively successful financially, but they are consumed by their day-to-day, and now they've allowed their health to, they let go of their health. You see what I'm saying? Like, I believe in having it all. I believe in having it all. I believe in having your health. I believe in having your family. I believe in having a connection to your family, right? I believe in having love in the house and creating a beautiful, harmonious vortex in the home where it almost recharges you every single time that you're around your family. I believe in massively achieving financial success. I believe in having and creating, planting seeds and cultivating beautiful, amazing relationships. I believe in having it all. That's what I believe in. Maybe everybody has their own different belief system. That is what I believe in right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think it's very important to kind of have a balance, but there is no actual balance. Do you believe in balance, or what do you think about it?
I believe in offsetting. Mm-hmm. So think of a bicycle, right? Because I'm teaching my 10-year-old how to ride a bike right now. Well, what happens is when you're pedaling, what happens? You pedal down with your right, what goes up? Your left. You pedal down with your left, your right pedal goes up. If try getting on a bicycle and balancing out those pedals, see how long you last balancing and see how far you get. Do you see why offsetting is a much better strategy? If I have a really full productive week, like I did last week, let me just tell you, Saturday I saw you, right? We spoke last Saturday at the event. Was it last Saturday? I don't even know when it was. I think it was last Saturday, right? So we spoke at the event in Atlanta. And by the way, that was one of my biggest speaker challenges because I had to go right after Ed Milet. Did you not notice that? Did you know Ed Milet went for 75 minutes and then I came on for 45?
He did, but you did such a great job. I didn't notice the difference. So
that's a great sign. Thank you, Lord. I've been preparing. I love Ed, and Ed is like a mentor to me. And we text every now and then. I'm not one of those people that is, I have my own empire I'm building. You know what I mean? I'm not sitting there like, hey man, what's going on? Can you? No, I'm building my own empire, and God bless him. I run into him obviously. And you know, he's one of the people that I actually model after. Like, I listen to him because there's few people, like I haven't heard a lot of like Tony Robbins stuff. My guys are like Ed Milet. I like Brad Lee. I like Andy Frisella. Like, those are some of the guys that I kind of model after, but I'm a whole different animal with a whole different story. You know what I'm saying? Right. So anyway, yeah, that was like one of my biggest challenges, obviously, in Atlanta. So in Atlanta, I went after Ed Milet, but I had prepared for it. Everything, like, you have no, man, like, I started preparing for that day, the day before, you know what I mean? And if I can go down into the details of how I prepared as a speaker to bring that energy and that engagement. But that's like a whole item line of all kinds of different things. But anyway, so that week, Saturday, I saw you, we spoke in Atlanta. Monday, I came to this is my office. This is my building. We own this place, right? It's 10,000 square feet of just beautiful harmony. So Monday I came here, I had multiple meetings, right, with different companies and different leadership. Then Tuesday, I fly to Utah to raise $2 million for our new franchise venture. I fly back the same night to get ready for my CEO workshop on Wednesday and Thursday, right? And then on Friday, I fly back to Utah to reveal the franchise to the public at an event that had 500-600 people. So that was my full week. Oh, and then I fly back in that same night. Can you see the capacity that I have been trying to build, right? Like, I had a full week. So what did I do the next 2 days? I recharged. So I want you to know this. I pre-charged because I knew that week was coming. Multiple massages, breathing, hiking, exercise, water, oxygen, everything. Pre-charge. Then I went, I had this, I call it a nine, that's my nine-figure week, because that like set the tone for the rest of the year, right? So I had this nine-figure week, and then I recharge. So pre-charge, work, recharge, offset. You see that? A lot of pre-charging. Oh man, you're spending a lot of time going up to Sedona and hiking and grounding and breathing. And yeah, because I know what's coming ahead. Pre-charge, boom, right? That work week, my $9 million work week, and then recharge on Saturday and Sunday with my children. I spend every single hour of those 2 days in my home around my family, my wife and my two kids. That's how you build your capacity. And that's how you really accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in life. Is there's no balance, but there is offsetting. Make sense?
I love that. And I used to feel so bad when I had a busy week and I had to work on the weekends, but then I'm like lazy on Monday. I mean, not lazy, but try to take time off. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, everyone is working. And I'm like,
let me ask you this. Okay. With what I just, are you going to start pre-charging?
Oh yeah. Now I'm going to start pre-charging. Thank you for that great advice.
And then you get your work on and then you recharge, right?
Yeah.
And then I want you to ask yourself this, so you don't feel, because people like you and me, I don't anymore. Thank God. It's been a couple of years. I stopped feeling guilty as of 2019, which is about 4 years ago. Okay. Yes or no? Do you feel guilty when you're lazy?
Oh yeah. Big
time. Okay. Next time that you have one of those days of recharging, I don't care if you're going hiking. I don't care if you're going to the spa, whatever it is that you do to recharge, I want you to ask yourself this. Do I deserve this? Do I deserve what I'm doing right now? I think that your answer is going to be absolutely yes.
Well, you know, when I just started, I didn't really feel like I'm an entrepreneur. I had like second thoughts of maybe going back to work or something, which would never happen. But it just like, you know, when I just started a long time ago. And now I do think like an entrepreneur. So now I'm saying to myself, I'm my own boss. If I want to take time off today, I will, because I'm in control of my own.
But it's not even about, I get that, right? But it's not even, it's just about like, man, I love myself. I deserve this.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. By the way, you pronounce your name is Oliasha, right? Yeah. Oli? How did you say Oli? What do you say? How do you?
My full name is Olga, but I go by Olya, and everybody calls me Oliasha. So
I like Olga. You know why I like Olga?
No, I don't, because you know in America they can like in Spanish they can pronounce it like
Olga. Olga.
Yeah, but in English.
So one of my aunt's name is Olga.
Yeah, they can't say it nicely, and it sounds so bad. I was like, it doesn't match me. So
you like Oliasha?
Yeah.
It's actually a very exotic name, so you should probably run with that. I like the Oliash. Right,
yeah, that's what my loved ones, my friends called me. So, and they used to call me when I was little too. So, and
yeah, I like it. Either name, actually, Oliash sounds very like fancy and exotic, you know? It's kind of cool. And it matches the podcast, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what you should name it? I know it says Not Basic Blonde, right? Right?
Not Basic Blonde Podcast, yeah.
Yeah, the Not Basic Blonde Podcast. But mm-hmm. It should be like Not Basic Blonde Podcast with Oliasha.
Oh.
I like that.
You know, my brand is Not Basic Blonde, so I go by, some people call me Not Basic Blonde, not by my name.
But you see how it could be with
Oliasha. Yeah, that's a good idea too.
One guy that I look up to, Andy Frisella, right?
Yeah.
I love that man. And, you know, he's been so helpful. Like, there's been so many people, Liasha, that have been so helpful in my career, in my growth, you know, like Brad Lee, Ken Jocelyn, you saw the story of him and I 3 years, right? Ed Milet, who else? Clearly Andy Frisella. If you look up episode 81, his podcast, Real AF, episode 81, Manifesting Dreams into Reality, right? It was like that podcast that him and I did back in like 2020. It just exploded. It helped me with my brand, right? And his podcast is called Real AF with Andy Frisella. So that's why I really love the with, just because of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds incredible too. And
so you don't have to change the name. You just add the with.
Okay.
Anyway, listen, I'm just giving you advice, right? You can keep, I love Not Basic Blonde, but I like your name too. And I think that, you know, you want people to start calling like your name, you want your name out there. Like when I launched my personal podcast, right? I wanted to say with Carlos Reyes, you know what I mean?
Oh. Yeah. Do you manifest? Do you believe in manifesting?
What do you think?
Of course you do.
Visualization is one of my biggest, I think you hear for here. I'll show you if I believe in manifestation, right? Visualization and manifestation. Do you know what this is? No. Okay. This is a Bible. This is a Bible.
Uh-huh.
This is not a Bible. Do you know what this is?
Notebook.
Oliasha, this is my personal journal that I write every single little thing, every single day, every single night. It's gone to the point, it's almost like an obsession now. I literally put it right next to my bed now. I take it to sleep with me just in case I wake up and I have an idea, right? And here is the journal before that one. You see what I'm saying? Like, you see, it's like I keep these journals one day are going to be passed on to my kids and they're going to be able to read like, holy smokes, dad. They literally have a history of dad. You know what I mean? So it's going to be kind of cool.
That's incredible. And what's the best advice you can provide in entrepreneurs?
Start now and take action and delay your gratification. When you start making money, be very responsible, be very strategic, track every single metric that you can, your key performance indicators across everything in your business. Hire as soon as possible, create systems, processes, right? SOPs, departments, hire leadership, train leadership, develop leaders, delegate as often as possible, fire yourself as soon as possible, and add multiple streams of income. Literally, I just told you like my whole story, right? My whole business game plan of what I've done.
Yeah, I love it. Your business entrepreneurship.
I really, you have to understand, it's something that like business is something, you know, like a lot of like social media people and speakers, they're not very passionate about business. I'm a unicorn, Oliasha. I'm a unicorn. I'm a personal development guy. But I love business and I know business, right? I'm a spiritual guy. You know what I mean? I don't think we belong to one box. Like if you think of Jay Shetty, right? And I love Jay Shetty and I haven't read his book, but I want to think like a monk. Guy like Jay Shetty, everybody thinks of him as, they put him in a box, right? You think of Tony Robbins, they put him in a box. Yes. The personal, Dean Graziosi, they put them in the personal development box, right? I'd never want to be in a box. When I was a real estate, when I am a real estate investor, but I'm not a real estate investor. You know what I mean? Right? I never wanted to be put, like, you know, my buddy Pace Morby. Everybody thinks of Pace Morby as a real estate guy. I never wanted to be a real estate guy. I'm not a real estate guy. You know what I mean? I am a man of whatever God has for me. I'm diverse. I'm a neurodivergent. I think outside the box. I create, you know, I imagine, I visualize, I manifest. I'm a neurodivergent.
I'm the same way because I'm in fashion, but I have a business side too. I have entrepreneurship podcast, and I spent 8-9 years before I became a public figure. I've done IT project management. So by looking at me, everybody would never.
You never want to be put in. You don't. That's so boring to be labeled. That's one thing, right?
Yeah.
You're like, dude, I'm way more, like in your case, I'm way more than some type of fashion person.
Yeah.
Right? I'm way more than that. You know, I'm
like a human how being. They say influencer. I was like, I'm not an influencer. I have a brand.
Speaker. Oh, yeah. She's a speaker. Yeah. Oh, she's an influencer. I don't like being put in a box.
No.
Yeah.
So true. And where can all listeners find you, your social handles, all your information?
At Carlos Reyes, CarlosReyes, at Carlos Reyes. And yeah, if anybody ever has any questions with anything, whether it's life or business, I will always be a servant leader for the rest of my life, because that is the anointing that God has on me. And I have to keep my feet on the ground and keep my head on the clouds, right? And I really have to serve people. I think that's something that obviously God has anointed me with, to serve people for the rest of my life. And I'm okay with that, as long as he continues to give me the strength to endure it.
Love it. Thank you so much, Carlos, for being my guest. And thank you so much for sharing your story and providing so much great information.
Thank you. Aliasha, I'll talk to you soon. God bless you, okay?
Thank you.
That was all for today, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Not Basic Blonde podcast is available on all the major platforms with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. To support the show, tag NBB Podcast on your Instagram stories and check out more behind the scenes on Instagram as well at notbasicblonde_ or NBB Podcast. And if you haven't, subscribe, rate, and review Not Basic Blonde podcast on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.